Yo, yo, welcome to another post-game edition of the Forum Club. I'm your host, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And the Lakers defeated the Charlotte Hornets 116-105 on Thursday night to improve to 28-13, 14-8 at Staples Center, and 11-7 without Anthony Davis this season, which I think is a very important development. The Lakers have now won four games in a row. That's the first time they've done that since that seven-game win streak from late January into mid-February, right before the Anthony Davis injury, which broke that streak. So, yeah, I think this has been a really good stretch for the Lakers coming out of the All-Star break. They're undefeated. I had mentioned, last week, and even, maybe the week before, that I felt this was a stretch that they could easily go 7-2, 6-3 coming out of the All-Star break. You know, they got Atlanta this weekend, which should be another win. At Phoenix, that's going to be a tough one. It's a back-to-back. And Frank Vogel was even kind of saying it's almost like a back-to-back-to-back because they're playing Thursday night, then playing Saturday morning. So they really have, basically a 24-hour period fewer than 24 hours when you factor in sleep and stuff. Like, they don't have a big break between the Charlotte game and the Atlanta game. It is different. It's not a back-to-back-to-back, but I get the sentiment there of just a very quick turnaround, and then you fly to Phoenix, right after that Atlanta game. Then at New Orleans on Tuesday, versus Philly on Thursday, which is now going to be a different look because there's no Joel Embiid and most likely, no Anthony Davis. So that kind of changes that dynamic, makes it, I think, a small ball matchup, more of a up-tempo, fast break matchup. Then you got Cleveland and Orlando. So looking at this, next six-game stretch, I think the Lakers could easily go 4-2 at a minimum, if not 5-1 or 6-0. And there'll probably be a stinker somewhere. Maybe it's Atlanta on Saturday, with that being a 12:30 game. Maybe it's Cleveland or Orlando. Cleveland put up a fight against the Lakers earlier in the season. Maybe it's Philly. Maybe it's Phoenix. Like, I don't know. I guess basically just named every possible game. But I do think that this is a really encouraging stretch for LA. And tonight's win was just another impressive game. And it wasn't the prettiest. Charlotte had a really good third quarter. I thought the Lakers for three of the four quarters were really good. Won the first by 7 points, won the second by 8 points, and won the fourth by seven. So, those three quarters were pretty solid. It was that third quarter where Charlotte outscored them by 11, started the frame, the first 5 minutes, they were started on a 19-4 run, which was just crazy. You rarely see the Lakers give up that type of run, especially to a lottery type team. And I know we've seen some of those runs, like to start a quarter, to start the first, and the Lakers have gotten out to some slow starts, but like in the heart of a game, you rarely see them give up that type of run. So I thought that, that was a little discouraging, but aside from that, like LeBron James, player of the game, story of the game, 37 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 14 of 22 shooting. That's just ridiculous efficiency. 4-9 on threes, 5-6 from the free throw line. Also had a steal and a block. LeBron is the MVP. I think Joel Embiid had taken that mantle a few weeks ago. The Sixers were first in the East by a few games. And most advanced metrics, Embiid was number one, number two, number three. Like, he was at the top or near the top. And it was hard to make the case other than just simply saying LeBron is better than Embiid. Even the net rating differential, where you look at when Embiid is on versus when he's off, that favored Embiid slightly over LeBron. So it was really hard to make the case that LeBron was MVP over Embiid. as recently as, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, other than just saying LeBron is the best player in the league. And if you want to make that argument, I think that's fair. But now, with Embiid being out for at least a couple weeks, his list of games missed is going to be growing. I do think it's going to knock him out of that first spot. And I think LeBron is right there. If you heard the episode earlier in the week, Bill and Slater and I were discussing it, and they're making the case for Dame and talking about other candidates. And like, to me, it's LeBron, right? Like, he's the best player in the league. His advanced metrics are really good. They're not necessarily the best, but he is in that mix with Jokic and Giannis and Kawhi and Harden and Dame and Steph and like whoever you want to throw their name in the ring. LeBron's right there. You have the Lakers, who are now 11-7 without AD, back in second place in the West, and only 1.5 games behind number one Utah. So the Lakers could easily, with this, you know, go 5-1, 6-0 over the next six games. Like, they're back in the one seed or you know, a half game back or tied for it, right? So I think the fact that they've been able to win at this level without AD, given how hard some of these games have been, and not having Mark, not having Alex, not having Dennis for certain parts, like it has been a very tough go without AD. It's not like he's been the only guy that's been out. Then you know, you factor those things in. You factor in the fact that they've been the number one defense this entire time. I mean, since they took the number one defense rankings in, you know, early January, they have not given that up. That has been consistent for the Lakers for over 2 months now, that they have been the best defense in the NBA, including without Anthony Davis. So I think, again, LeBron is the best player in the game. He has the advanced metrics on his side. I think he has the narrative on his side, with it being his fifth MVP, putting him in that rare air with the likes of MJ and Kareem and Bill Russell. Also, you know, the fact that it's tough to pinpoint a season that he probably should have won MVP over the last 8 years or so, but the fact that he hasn't won an MVP in the last 8 years is a bit ridiculous just on the surface. And I think him, you know, having this type of season deserves, you know, the MVP. And I think when you just look at the competition league wide, I don't see another player who's going to be in the top two or three in their conference that can compete with LeBron. Like, that is the historical benchmark, is you have to be top two or top three in your conference. If you look at, like, you know, I looked at the last 20 winners of MVP, every single winner was in the top three in their conference, except for Russell Westbrook, who in 2016-17 won for averaging the triple-double, and the Thunder were the sixth seed that season. And that is one of the most controversial MVP, you know, wins of, you know, in NBA history. Like, you know, there are a lot of people who think James Harden should have won, or Kawhi should have won, or LeBron should have won. Like, that is not a clear-cut MVP win. So I think aside from that, you know, the formula is you have to be top three in your conference. And I think that hurts guys like Dame Lillard or Nikola Jokic or Steph Curry. Like, those guys are probably not going to be top three in the West. It's going to be some combination of the two LA teams, Utah and Phoenix. And I don't think Utah and Phoenix have guys at that level to win it. I think Kawhi is going to be in the mix, but the Clippers are slipping. You know, they're now the four seed. And then you go to the East. Giannis, I think there's just going to be voter fatigue. Like, you know, he's having a really good year, not as good as last year. The Bucks aren't as good as last year, at least record-wise. And I just don't see him winning. When you look at the standard to win three consecutive MVPs, every player that's won three consecutive MVPs won the championship in one of their first two seasons winning MVP. Giannis has not done that. He's actually flamed out of the playoffs, so I don't see Giannis winning it. I think James Harden is the other guy who's getting some buzz, you know, aside from Embiid, obviously. But James Harden, I mean, you can't throw out the Houston situation. You know, showed up late to training camp, was just blatantly disregarding the COVID protocols, was mailing in games as a Rocket. I mean, the Lakers saw back-to-back versions of that. And, you know, he's been a model citizen in Brooklyn. He's been really, really good. I think if he started the season in Brooklyn, maybe he would be the favorite. or at least kind of on that, you know, LeBron Embiid level or close to it. But you can't disregard Houston. Like you can't disregard what he did, forcing his way out of there the way that he did. I think that knocks him. So I do think that LeBron, I mean, it's just, I think it's all lining up for him. And he's taking it, right? Like, again, 37-8-6 tonight. Had a couple triple-doubles out of the gate. Like, he's just playing at a really, really high level right now.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Another thing I wanted to note quickly from this game is LaMelo Ball. I thought he was really impressive tonight. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. Did have 6 turnovers, and you see the 19-year-old rookie point guard in him in that respect. But 10 of 18 shooting, I thought for the most part his shot selection was pretty good. 2 of 5 from deep, 4 of 5 at the free throw line. And you just see it with him where he has the flash, and it's the bounce in his step and some of the passes he tries to thread the needle on, and just his ability to go into pocket passes like with his live dribble, which isn't sounds like a simple thing, but is not an easy thing, especially for someone his age with his NBA experience. Like, he is a high level passer. I think he's a high level decision maker. And again, there's going to be the travels, the stolen passes, and some of the head scratching shots. But he, to me, looks like a future perennial all-star, a future franchise cornerstone, a future All-NBA player. Like, I think he looks like someone to me that's going to be knocking on that All-NBA third team within 2-3 seasons, depending on how good Charlotte is, because your record always matters in those situations. But I was really impressed with him. I thought he lived up to the hype, and frankly, I didn't even think he had that good of a game. I thought that he started the game off really slow. I thought there were moments that he was a little passive and, was not looking for his own shot. But, I think the thing I was most impressed with him was his finishing ability. That was something that we knew there were questions with the shot. We knew there were questions with some of the turnovers, some of the dribbling, some of the passing, just in terms of like the decision making, right? Like, he obviously had the dribbling and passing at a high level, but in terms of doing it efficiently at an NBA level, there were some questions. He's obviously quelled those questions. Like, he's answered all that. But to me, it's the finishing where, sometimes I felt like in some of the film I'd seen on him, it was these kind of weird floaters and avoiding contact and not going up strong. But he has a really nice pace to his drives. He has really good footwork. And I thought that he did a really good job, finishing through traffic, just kind of creating driving angles and maximizing those angles. So I thought, I don't know, we're not turning this into the LaMelo podcast. We're not turning this into the Hornets podcast, but of course he has the ties to the Lakers with Lonzo being a former Laker and the big baller brand and LeVar and all that stuff. So I thought it was only right to mention LaMelo's game and how good he looks, and definitely the best rookie I've seen this season. Really not close. I think already he's just continued to grow throughout the season, and I think the way he's playing right now, had he started the season off that way, he could have made a push for back end all-star potentially in the East, of course. Different threshold to make the East All-Star team than the West All-Star team, but I was really, really impressed with him. And also his defense. I thought that he had one steal, zero blocks, nothing crazy defensively in terms of like in the box score, but I thought that for the most part he was attentive. He's a bit upright. He doesn't have the best stance. He's not always kind of crouched ready to help, but he wasn't really getting lost off the ball or getting beat back door or for offensive rebounds. Like he knew where to be. He had his head on a swivel and he was relatively active. And again, for a guy that I think didn't play much defense in previous stops in his professional career, for him to be where he's at now, I think has just shown a level of maturity and growth and evolution in his game that I think is worth noting. So just wanted to give LaMelo his props for his performance tonight. But back to the LeBron MVP conversation, and we'll go out on this. It was interesting tonight because the Lakers basically started campaigning for LeBron for MVP for the first time. And, you know, that's not something they've really done, this season. But Frank Vogel immediately, when asked about LeBron's, almost 40-point game and almost 40-point triple-double, like, he was just like, yeah, I mean, he's the MVP to me, in my opinion. And that just opened up the floodgates where every question started to be about LeBron and MVP and why hasn't he won it more? And, sort of this stretch coming out of the All-Star break and different things on the topic. And Frank Vogel actually went as far to say as that LeBron is the best player of all time, that he is the best player to ever play basketball. Frank was really going hard on that and, saying LeBron's been the best player in the league since his second or third season, which would put LeBron as the best player since 2005 or 2006, when I think the consensus was more he became the best player in like 2008 or 2009, when 2009 was when he won his first MVP. So I thought that was interesting, but then that led to Kyle Kuzma saying that LeBron, MVP is a politics award and LeBron could easily have 8 or 9 MVP awards. Alex Caruso kind of echoed a similar sentiment. And then LeBron even said that, he's kind of someone who, at least when he's been in LA and when I've seen his media availabilities and comments he's made, he's not really embraced the award talk. He did have the, show me my respect after they won the title give me my respect. I think it might've been damn respect. But aside from that, even the Giannis MVP race stuff last year, he kind of stayed out of talking about it other than saying he was disappointed in the voting, kind of landslide that it was. But he said, MVP means something to him, and he thinks he should have more than 4 and that he's honored to be back in the race this season. So I'm writing about this, but by the time this podcast is up, it should be on The Athletic, and I hope you check out my story. But I think that it's really interesting that the Lakers, after tonight's game, really started publicly campaigning for LeBron to win MVP. And it does feel like there's a groundswell for LeBron to win this award. And again, I think he deserves it. I think he's the best player in the league still. I think that, there's no Warriors dominant team, right? There's no team that's pushing for 60-plus wins right now. The equivalent in a 72-game series. There's no Giannis from last year, like overwhelming statistical darling favorite. Maybe the closest are like Embiid and Jokic, but Embiid is now missing time and Jokic's team is a 5 seed. And you're just not going to win the award, in my opinion, as a 5 seed. I love Jokic. I'm Serbian, so I have some bias actually towards Jokic. Like he's one of my favorite players to watch in the league, but he's just not going to win being on a 5 seed. And, maybe Denver gets up to 4 and maybe they even push up to 3 and then, okay, he's probably in the conversation. But I just think as currently constructed, looking at the race, looking at the teams projected to finish in the top 2 or 3 in their respective conferences, I really think it's LeBron, it's Giannis, it's Harden, and it's Kawhi. And Embiid, but again, I think missed games is going to hurt him. Looking at that, I don't see Giannis winning because of voter fatigue and him winning the last 2 years and losing early in the playoffs. I don't see Harden winning because of the Houston situation. And Kawhi, maybe, but it's going to depend on games played. And it's also going to depend on, do the Clippers have a better record than the Lakers, which right now they're 3 games back in the loss column. So I think it's really setting up for LeBron to win this award, and he deserves it. So We'll get out of here on that. The other thing I wanted to note is that I wrote about the Lakers center situation, the rim protection, the shift from JaVale and Dwight to Mark and Trez. So that is on The Athletic. If you have not checked it out yet, please do so. I think I get some variation of, dude, we need a center upgrade. You know, what's up with Mark? What's up with Trez? You know, can Andre Drummond or Hassan Whiteside or LaMarcus Aldridge or, you know, player X? And I kind of put my two cents. I went back and watched every defensive possession of Marc Gasol and Montrezl Harrell this season. I compared their numbers to JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard last season, you know, so comparing the Laker numbers. And then I also compared them to JaVale and Dwight this season to kind of see the current performance. And I don't want to spoil the conclusion, but I'll just kind of leave it at, I don't think the center issue is as big of a problem as people think. And I think the film and the data back that up. But give that a read and let me know in the comment section on The Athletic if you agree or disagree or what you think of the story. But as always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jovan Buha. That's at JovanBuha. And if you've not subscribed to this podcast, you can do so on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, The Athletic, wherever you're listening right now. And if you have not subscribed to The Athletic, we currently have a deal for $1 a month for 6 months. That's a great deal. So $6, you know, less than 1 month on average of The Athletic for 6 months, you know, and then it will go to the normal rate. So, you know, be aware of that. But I think after 6 months of $1 a month, you're really going to like the content you're getting and you're going to be willing to pay that $7 or $8 a month for all the different sports, all the different writers, and just the great coverage that we have. So definitely check that out. And if you do so, please try to subscribe off of one of my articles. That helps me out. So you could just go to my Twitter and then subscribe off there. But thank you guys again for listening. I'll be back next week.